The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Hello and welcome to Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We are very pleased that you have chosen to join us for the next hour because we're going to have an excellent discussion with our distinguished guest who is a great friend of The Rock and has been here many times. And we are honored once again to welcome His Grace, Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma, Ohio. Your Grace, glory to Jesus Christ. Slava Isusu Christu.
Glory forever. Slava Naviki.
And Bishop, welcome again.
Thank you.
Happy to have you here. A lot to talk about, and Bishop, one of those things, of course, is going to be the war in your homeland of Ukraine. You've been there a number of times since we last talked. We'll get to all of that and other topics, but first, as we always do, we ask you to lead all of us, listening and here in the studio, in a prayer.
Let us say a prayer to the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in our life to know that we are not alone, that we are walking with Christ, in Christ. So let us pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly King, Advocate, Spirit of Truth, who are ever present and fill all things, Treasury of Blessing, Bestower of Life, come and dwell within us, cleanse us of all that defiles us, and a good one, save our souls. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Bishop Bogdan Danilo is our guest. I'm Dick Russ, your host, and Dan Dealey is our producer today. Bishop, it's been about 7 months since you've been with us, at least here in the studio. Your prayers have been played many times here on The Rock, and your support and your participation in this part of our ministry of the Catholic Church in Northeast Ohio is greatly appreciated. And we just want to thank you for that again. So every time for the last three, four times you've been on, most tragically, we have to start talking about the war in Ukraine. And we do that once again now as our program is on in October of 2023. We're 20 months into this war. And there's no end in sight. The toll on the Ukrainian people has been unbelievable. And yet, supported by their faith and by their belief in their liberty and independence for an independent and free Ukraine, as they say, they soldier on and keep resisting the invasion of the Russian forces. Bishop, you have been there several times, right, since we talked last. One of the things that I had seen is that the patriarch of our Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church, His Beatitude Sviatoslav, has said, we must find the Ukrainian people there and here in the diaspora. We must find a way to transform hatred to courage, because that will be the path to victory. Bishop, it's a wonderful thing to say. Please tell me in your experience what you have seen and how it is possible for people to persevere in the face of such hatred coming from another side.
It's a broken reality of Ukraine. You know, it's a wound that it's not being healed. As you mentioned, it's over 20 months already since Ukraine is fighting. First of all, I would like to say thank you to everyone who listens to us for their prayers, for advocacy for Ukraine, because without the help, especially of the Western countries and United States, first of all, Ukraine not be able to stand against the Russian invasion. But thankfully, we have help and we are able to persevere. His Beatitude beautifully said this, that something that we as a church will have a great role in creating that unity and perseverance in the act of the war. Hopefully that war will end sooner or later. But to change the society afterward, to bring the hope, the joy, and also the reason to live forward will be a great undertaking of both civil society, but first of all also of the church, because from the church they need that feeling of hope for the future, of better tomorrow. thankfully, this war is not the war that Ukraine started. It's the war that we are defending our land. Ukrainians are peaceful people. They wanted to live in this land in a good relationship with all the neighbors, with including the neighbors to the north, with the Russians. There is a big Russian population, you know, especially after the Second World War. And we know what happened in the east, especially with Holodomor, the artificial famine in Ukraine, where Stalin killed so many people. We'll be in November celebrating a memory of this painful event once again. But Ukraine is just trying to persevere in this situation. But you can see this in the faces of those whom I meet when I travel to Ukraine. There is a lot of pain. Now each family, each community has somebody that they lost during this war.
This is actually Bishop Danilo trying to live what Jesus actually said to us. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. When you're in the middle of this, as probably in any war or great tragedy like this, when one man or people are set to invade and persecute the other, this is a real test of Christianity and in our case, Catholicism.
Indeed. And of course, when we talk about forgiveness, it will happen. But as often, we as a church remind in Ukraine and beyond that, first of all, it has to be a just peace. End of fighting, retribution to Ukraine. Ukraine just wants to go back to the original borders that were recognized by international community. And if that happened, perhaps at that moment, we can start talking about healing from those wounds and traumas of this war. But as you know, and we have family members, the great generation is passing away in America, but probably the children of that generation know that often the parents, and at that time there were mostly men who went, you know, across the ocean to fight and defend the freedom of others, were often saying, and when they came back, they didn't want to talk about the experience of war. But what was unique about that group is that they live in a peaceful America. Anyone who studies the past say that the late 40s and 50s was the golden time of development of American society. There was trust, there was love. Mm-hmm. Those people saw evil. And when they came home, they were so powerful about protecting that peace and joy in their families. And we know it happened. Today, perhaps we need once again that beacon of kindness in those people. And perhaps the Ukrainian nation will be that group that will show us how to cherish the peace, tranquility, and life.
In the many times you have been back to Ukraine since we last talked and since the beginning of the war, I noticed, because you're very active on Facebook and other social media, and this is good because we can see actually from the people what is happening. When the people see you, the regular citizens, when you celebrate the Divine Liturgy or hear the Holy Confession or something, and not to say what they say in confession, but you see people all the time. What is the spirit there, both in terms of like a civil spirit and also their religious of faith, Bishop? What do you see and hear from people, and what do you tell them? Just the ordinary persons.
You know, it's on both sides. Even here, you know, that during the summer in a few places in the United States, we have pilgrimages. So I had a chance recently to travel to one of those places, a pilgrimage in Sloatsburg, New York, for the Dormition, Assumption of Mother of God. And in the morning, I tried to help with the confession. Almost every fifth person who came was a mother who has a son in Ukraine who is either fighting or is in a front line. And you can just see and hear in her voice how painful is that moment. You know, mother worrying about the son, living, you know, 7,000 miles across the ocean from the child and trying to through prayer to protect those children. The same thing happens in Ukraine. Mostly you see people who are kind. I think a great example for us to see was the beginning. Remember when we talked last year in March about so many million people moving from eastern Ukraine when the Russian forces were entering Ukraine to western, and of course almost 8 million people went across the border at that time. But in a city of Lviv or across the border, either in Slovakia, in Poland, or other places, you didn't see even one family who was left alone, begging on the street, you know, or not able to find a shelter. Community itself was able to help those people to have a full life. And often here on our streets of Cleveland, we see people who are left alone. You know, we as a society have a responsibility. We have to take care of them here as well as to support those who so bravely were helping each other in Ukraine.
And as we're taping this radio program, and we're with Bishop Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy here in Northeast Ohio, as we're taping this program, yet another war has started. The Hamas has started the war against Israel, and State of Israel actually declared war. So here we go again, over and over, Your Grace, in the human history, wars and terrible things happening, and here we are as Catholic Christians. So I would say, help us to pray when we say our prayers in the morning or middle of the day and at night. How do we pray again in this year 2023 when we see all these terrible things again, they continue to happen? You mentioned about after the war, second war, right? And it was relative peace and strength and so on. And now it's chaos in so many places. So help us to think how to pray, Bishop.
And what was the most painful on that Saturday when Israel was so attacked by Hamas was to see that the method was the same method that happened initially in Ukraine. Yeah. You had a young children and elder being taken across the border as hostages. Yeah. What those children or elders are able to do, you know, it's so barbaric in the 21st century. We have to probably, first of all, pray for them. Second, cherish the peace that we have here. You know, I'm amazed sometimes now after a couple years of COVID and quasi peaceful time in America, how much of infighting we have in our communities, in our families. We really don't understand sometimes or do not wish to do examination of conscience of all the blessings that we have. We live in a peaceful country. We live in a beautiful portion of the land. We have our families. We have our neighborhoods. We should cherish those people, reconnect with them, be once again as one community. We don't know who are our neighbors, but we are interested about what is happening in California, in Hollywood, in a music scenes. Those will not help us in our daily lives. They may sometimes inspire us to hear a good song, but what helps you to live day in and day out are those people who are the closest to you, your family, your friends, and your local community.
Among your other travels, Bishop Danilo, since we spoke last, you were in Rome for the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church Synod, and this was the bishops from the Ukrainian Catholic Church, and you met with the Holy Father, and that was in early September, I believe, for, what was it, 10 days, something like that?
Yes, September 3rd through 14, and that's the days we're in Rome.
And in the context of that, the Holy Father talked about the martyrdom of Ukraine. Those are very strong words, and you've been there so many times since the war broke out. It seems like that to us, doesn't it? A martyrdom.
You know, often when we look at the church or any of those who listen to us and you open your calendar, you see the names of the martyrs of the past. And we tend to think about the church as martyrs of the first, second, or maybe those, you know, first millennium of the church who gave life for church. 20th century, and unfortunately, looks like beginning of the 21st century is once again a witness of the martyrs of the church in a society. Both in Ukraine, so many people were willing to give their own lives, especially those young men who are defending the freedoms of their wives, their families, their children. That's why the Holy Father so often is pointing to that image of martyrdom of Ukrainian people. And for us, it's such a vivid image because 70 years ago, another generation gave life for the Catholic Church in Ukraine. When the Soviet Union was entering over there with their own government, a number of bishops, priests, but also lay people, faithful, gave life for the Catholic Church. They were not willing to reject their faith, their allegiance to the Holy Father and the Catholic Church, and some of them ended in Siberia, in Kazakhstan, or they were killed just for being a part of the Catholic Church.
Yeah. I was reading about part of the discussions that you had among all with His Beatitude and all of you Ukrainian bishops and the Holy Father was now the mission, the need for pastoral care for wounded people, especially psychologically wounded people. The war has had such devastating effects on everyone who comes into contact with it. So I would think we ask, what can we do here? We can pray. And the psychological effects of this, you probably have noticed and you talked about it. What can you tell us a little bit about that experience?
We have probably for the last 20 years, a small portion of our community, namely those who were fighting both in Iraq and Afghanistan, coming back. And as a society, we do know that often besides the physical wounds that are coming with, they also have a lot of psychological trauma coming back from war. And unfortunately, a lot of those people are left for their own situation, family, friends, or they sometimes do not seek a help from outside. Imagine the entire nation. War may happen mostly in the east, you know, fighting between forces, but there are air raids throughout the entire Ukraine. There are missiles hit as close as few miles from the border with the European Union over there. Mm-hmm. So day in and day out, the community is really traumatized. And the issue of their well-being is very important. We will definitely need a professional people working, especially with those who perhaps have real wounds of war and they saw the fighting. But often we talk about community resilience model. Not everyone needs psychological helps, but everyone needs somebody who is next to you, somebody who is willing to walk with you. Isn't that the image of us as Christians? Now we are, as we speak, in a synodality of the Catholic Church itself. But word synod means to journey, to walk together. So especially in Ukrainian Catholic Church at the synod, at the meeting with the Holy Father, we spoke a lot about each and every one of us trying to be a part of healing, being that person that can open the heart and mind and help those who are less fortunate or those who are in need in our communities.
And this can happen anywhere with anyone in any country, in any city, Your Grace, not just from the war. And so I think it's a good message for all of us. We're talking with His Grace Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma. And we'll continue our discussion here on Table Talk after we take our first brief timeout. And we welcome everyone back to Table Talk here on The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, AM 1260. I'm Dick Russ, the host of this program, and our esteemed guest is His Grace Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma. We've been talking about the bishop's experiences in Ukraine and here at home vis-a-vis the war in Ukraine, now in its 20th month. You made some other travels while you were in Ukraine a couple of times. One was to the, to the Ukrainian Catholic University. And this place, it's in Lviv, in the city in the western part of Ukraine, still the only Catholic university in the former Soviet Union. And it is resurrected from its founders, Ukrainian Catholic clergy, from some 100 years ago now. And it remains a faithful bastion of not only Catholicism, but it seems like a true understanding of its place in the world. What were your experiences there with the students and the staff of this university? It continues to operate completely while the entire nation is being sieged at war.
Couple important things. Never lose hope and faith. You mentioned about the founders. Founder of that university initially as a theological school was Metropolitan Andrew Sheptytsky. It was 100 years ago, even over 100 years ago. Then, of course, that university had to go underground, was re-resurrected by Patriarch Joseph Slipy in Rome when he was finally free from Siberia. 18 years he spent as a witness of faith, in Siberia. And then thanks to Pope John the 24th and our President Kennedy, he was able to be released, not allowed, of course, to go back to Ukraine, but spend another 20 years still, you know, traveling all over the world, including here, Cleveland. He came both to North America, to Canada, United States, and he visited all the communities abroad. And that vision was brought back to Ukraine. There was always his dream that when Ukraine becomes free, that university can be once again brought back to Ukraine. Now, it's not just a small theological school, but it's a school with a number of programs in humanities, actually one of the best business schools. It's actually at the Ukrainian Catholic University in Lviv. Few important things, I think, for us to remember. One is a place of faith. It's not just Catholics, Orthodox, and even non-believers who are coming to that school. We often know about Eastern Europe and especially Ukraine, about corruption in both education and political system. It's one of the probably only university that there is no bribing to enter that school. One of the best minds of Ukraine are choosing now that university as a place to educate themselves. So slowly, but I think that university is changing also a face of education in Ukraine, face of how to approach education, and probably the most important, what you mentioned in introduction, from the beginning of war, besides academic place, that place became a hub for those who were refugees, medical personnel who came from abroad, including from United States, volunteers who came over there were able to find a place where they can operate and help those who are less fortunate. And especially students were crucial in that.
Yeah, I think it's important to note this in a program like we're doing, Bishop, because this is the actual practice of our Catholic faith in what our Lord commanded us to do, to express our faith in terms of our works. And it is being played out there in so many ways under the most terrible circumstances. The rockets are coming, and, you know, we mentioned during the break, my son, who people know is a Ukrainian Catholic priest, was there, and the building next to him was hit in the western part of Ukraine by three Russian missiles and killed 10 people and injured many dozens. But all of that good work continues to go on. And it must be a very prayerful place now. Obviously, I have not been there, you know, since the war broke out, but prayer must sustain an institution like that in the war, right?
Indeed, it's prayer, it's faith, but it's also what you mentioned, diakonia, serving those less fortunate. And it's something that we should keep also as a community blessed. Our, especially greater Cleveland area, is blessed with a number of Catholic schools and also other institutions. Let us support the Catholic institutions, because those places are forming not just mind, but the heart of those young men and women who are attending those schools. And you never know how much impact those young people can in the future make in their own communities and in a nation.
You mentioned that when you were in New York to observe the Dormition of Our Lady in August, that you had met a number of women whose family members are actively fighting in Ukraine. So I think folks who listen to this program may know that my family and I are members of your cathedral parish here in Parma. And so every week, it seems that we see more and more people coming and then coming to the church. For example, on the last Sunday, there were very many people there, and I know many of them are refugees. We've spoken with some. The women are there with their children, while the men, either brothers or husbands, remain fighting. What has been the impact of the war on your cathedral parish, all the parishes that you have in Ohio, and throughout your eparchy? And I know you extend down to the south, and many people have come to say the places you have in North Carolina, fleeing the war and coming to the United States. What has been the impact, and what are you hearing and experiencing from those people that you can tell us, that give us some hope or some way to help?
First of all, thank you to American society, because in a time of need, when I mentioned in one of our segments that over 8 million people left Ukraine, mostly women and children, seeking a place of shelter, place where they can be in a relative peace, and they can just start a life anew during the time when the war is still raging in Ukraine. Not a large portion, but close to probably 200,000 of those refugees came through United for Ukrainian program here to United States. And our Cleveland area became also home for a number of them. Catholic charities of Cleveland are really a good example of those who are helping. So thank you to Catholic charities. They help a lot of those families. First of all, our Ukrainian community. A number of them are friends, relatives. You needed a sponsor to sponsor you to come to America. So a number of our families did this. And you mentioned the cathedral. How many of them found home in our cathedral? Keep in mind, there are strangers in a new land. We sometimes forget about this. You know, we see them on Sunday. We are happy that they are with us. I'm assuming they are, and I know they tell us they are blessed that they are in place where they can have relative peace. They can pray. They can start work. Some of them started their children or attending our schools. But keep in mind, their heart is still back home. Their parents often, husbands, if they are not able to be with an entire family here, or back in Ukraine. So they live, in a sense, in two realities. But our communities are that island that they can find a little bit of Ukraine. Of course, you know that services in most of our churches are both in English and Ukrainian. Mm-hmm. But of course, those refugees, they tend to attend Ukrainian services where they can understand the language and pray in a mother tongue. So they are here in Cleveland, but also often from the major cities like Chicago, New York. You know, the expenses for living in those places are really high. So a number of them are seeking a new location. They are not attached to the families or relatives in given place. So a number of them moved south, Florida. I was surprised, for example, to find out that one of the largest communities of refugees is in St. Augustine, Florida. Who would think of all the places, St. Augustine or Charlotte, North Carolina, also now Columbia, South Carolina. Once again, a group of people wrote to me asking to reestablish Ukrainian Divine Liturgy because they said a number of refugees came over there. So thank you to American society for accepting them. I believe that time that they will be with us throughout this time of war will be a mutual benefit to both communities. On one hand, they are teaching us how to live in a moment of tragedy. And on the other hand, we are able to show them the kindness and welcome of American society.
Yeah, that has been not only in the church, but you had a number of successful festivals at the parishes. And many of those people who just came found at least like a breather to have a little less tension and be with people who, say, spoke their language, knew the customs, and they were welcomed. And this is another one of the works of mercy, welcoming the stranger. The community here in the Ukrainian community has, just my observation, Bishop, done that very, very well.
Indeed. And on the other hand, what is unique about them, they come, there are those who are in need themselves, but then shortly after, they tend to volunteer with others. That happens here, and even more, I was witnessing this back in Ukraine, that those who had to leave everything behind and maybe take the entire life's possession in two suitcases, including a child or two children, when they come to the place where they are safe, initially they receive help, but then very soon they tend to volunteer and help others because they understand them better. And on the other hand, they want to give back.
You had mentioned a couple of times that you helped to observe the Dormition, the Assumption of Our Lady, and you were in New York, and obviously it's a universal feast in the Catholic Church. But there are certain groups of people who we could say deeply rely on the intercession of the Theotokos, of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Slavic people, lots of Hispanic people, and so on, different cultures who have had a great devotion to the Blessed Mother. How does praying for her intercession and her help through Mary to her son help all of us as Catholic Christians, Bishop, in terms of not only dealing with the war, but all of those things that come to us in our daily life, whether it be job, family, hardship, whatever it happens to be?
I think everyone claims Mother of God as their Mother of God, every nation. You know, that's the beauty of Mary, that she's allowing us to share it. We Americans, we have devotion to Mother of God. As you mentioned, Spanish, Slavic, every nation. Greeks would probably claim that Mother of God is their Theotokos. It's something unique that, of course, Christ is the Savior. He's through his cross and resurrection, we once again, our heavenly home is being opened for us to enter. But we human have a unique relationship with Mary. And I tend to point out during my preaching that perhaps the human qualities of Mary are showing us how to do it. First, Mary was the one when she said fiat, finally. And if you remember that encounter with Archangel Gabriel, Mary was not right away ready to say yes. She, when he claimed that she's to become a mother of God, Mary says, but what kind of Immaculate Conception you are talking? I have my future spouse, Joseph. I have plans in my life. But when she was reminded once again by Archangel that what is to be born of her is Emmanuel, God with us, when Mary said yes, fiat, from that moment until her dormition, she never changed her option. That's one, I think, great lesson for each and every one of us. Second, Mary, right after that moment, goes to her relative Elizabeth, who is in need. She is pregnant too. Mary is the one who is willing to do diaconia, help those who are less fortunate. And Mary's eyes and heart was always open to those who are in need, either pointing her son with the miracles, Cana in Galilee, even the wedding, Mary is present. She's the one who is asking Christ for a miracle. And throughout the entire Bible, we have so many examples. And I think those qualities allowed us almost to touch Mary as Mother of God in our human existence and say, Mary, help me. Be my protector. And we should do this day in and day out. But I think looking at her example, we also should imitate our lives with her strong fiat and determination to be good, kind to others.
I wanted to mention another thing that just came out from a patriarch, Sviatoslav. His Beatitude was talking just a couple of days ago before we're taping this program about the real need for confession, for holy confession. Do not let this go by. So the world is in chaos in so many different places. What is it, Bishop Danilo, that confession on a regular basis, either returning to it or making it a regular part of a life, that is so important that his Beatitude himself would emphasize this over and over very strongly?
Definitely, it's needed for each and every one of us, but especially probably in a context of war, where your heart gets a little bit more stern, the confession opens you to the grace of God. And I'm begging everyone who listens to us, either you were to the confession a week ago or a month ago, or perhaps it's already a number of years, use the opportunity of Sacrament of Penance. It's coming back to the loving Father. In relationship between us and God, the only person who turns away is a human being. It's us. God is always, as in that parable about the prodigal son, searching for us, looking for us to come back and be with him. And of course, confession is that door that opens that grace for each and every one of us. It gives us a chance to examine ourselves, take away the burden that we are carrying. You can go to psychologists, but he will not give you absolution. God will, you will not know that you are forgiven by God himself. So let us go back to that beautiful Christian, especially Catholic tradition of the confession. It just allows you to be in presence with God, and of course opens all the other graces that are given throughout the Church.
We're speaking with Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma, Ohio. And His Grace has many parishes in about 12 or 13 states, going all the way down to the eastern seaboard, down into Florida. And Bishop, I had noticed that one of the things that if people want to learn more about the Eastern Catholic Churches, particularly the Ukrainian Catholic Church, they can go to a website called God With Us online. It's called godwithusonline.org. So this has been promoted, or they can go to the St. Joseph Eparchial website and learn more about the Ukrainian Catholic Church, the Eastern Catholic Churches, who are all in communion with the Pope of Rome. And we're all one Catholic family, but they're just, as we speak with our hierarchs from the Eastern Catholic Churches regularly on this program, some different nuances and ways of worship and approaching and looking at sacred and secular things that are very rewarding. We're going to continue our discussion with Bishop Danilo after we take another quick break here on AM 1260 The Rock. And welcome back to Table Talk. You're with AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. This is Dick Russ. Our guest today is Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma. And we've been talking about all kinds of subjects, and I wanted to turn to one now that is of immediate attention, and this program is going to be on the air in enough time that people who are listening can actually make a great difference. In early November, people in Ohio are going to be voting on a constitutional amendment. It's called Issue 1, which will effectively change the Ohio Constitution to make abortion legal anytime, anywhere, for any reason or no reason, right up until the moment of birth. So, Bishop, it goes without saying that everyone listening, all Christians, all Catholics, all people of goodwill, must vote no on this. We've got to say that. In your words, how do you tell people who are listening, or your parishioners, those who belong to your eparchy, all of us, what our thinking must be about these kind of life issues?
We are talking now about war. We see on our televisions, social media, just the fact of people killing each other. But we are living in a nation where killing is legal through abortion. So let us search our hearts. First of all, inform ourselves about the issue of abortion, and especially issue number one on this upcoming election. We are just trying to preserve life, and especially innocent life. I'm surprised because society, especially younger people, perhaps not necessarily from religious inclination, understand that from the moment of conception, you are looking at life. Medicine, science, and everything is helping us in that direction. You ask very young people, they say, now it is life. So let what we see also inform our conscience and our hearts. I'm especially asking everyone for prayer, that the kindness of us as society could be visible in that issue. I know there is a lot of misconception. Often the advertisement or issues on TV are not necessarily placed in a proper and open approach. So look at this, search, read about this, and especially in your conscience, respond properly and inform your friends, family, those who are part of our community, because it will change our society. If we make a wrong choice at that moment, children, grandchildren will be living in a different America that we know. We just had opportunity of reversing that issue on a federal level. Let us also, on our local here, especially in Northeast Ohio and entire Ohio, look at that issue and with bold statement for pro-life, continue our stand with those who are less fortunate.
Yeah, it's difficult to think that a society which, let's say, we're all outraged at the war in Ukraine, we're outraged at the invasion of Israel, that people are dying and getting killing, and yet some people can think in their minds that killing a baby is okay. It doesn't make sense, you know, when you actually think about it. So you're right. We need to pray and inform ourselves. And the Holy Spirit, we just prayed the prayer at the beginning of our discussion here today, Bishop, to come and dwell within us. You know, my wife and I pray every night for the Holy Spirit to come and open the hearts, open the minds of people. And I hope that prayer to the Holy Spirit is an effective thing in something like this.
It has to. And especially, we are so often reminded that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So even in this issue, how important it is to follow properly and be with the teaching of the church. Be courageous, be pro-life, because we never know that one of those children that we can save will be a future Surgeon General, perhaps one of the best doctors here in Cleveland Clinic or any places, or just a good human being who will be leading through example. So let us give a chance for life for everyone.
And also the intercession of the Blessed Mother. Like you said, she gave life to God the Word, and he dwells with us. And what wonderful examples we have in our Catholic deposit of our faith to do these things. But, you know, Bishop, it's a confusing moral environment, not just for the young people, for everyone. So many pressures on us coming from everywhere. How do we stay focused on the right things? And you mentioned about, you know, we people concerned what's happening in the movies and the songs and Hollywood and this. There are more important things we can do.
I think it once again goes back to our family. Family is that entity, you know, the smallest unit of our society, which creates later on our communities, our neighborhoods, our cities. We have to once again rediscover the power of our families. Parents have responsibility to teach children, especially about moral issues, you know, what is right, what is wrong. Often, I don't recall too much already of mathematics of the seventh grade in my life, but what I was told by even example of the teachers in the seventh grade or my parents or grandparents still stays with me today, and I believe all of us who listen to this program can say the same. We as humanity didn't change throughout the 2,000 years of Christianity that much. And there is a model of that worked in the past, works today, and may bring a lot of fruits in the future. But it will require us as Christian community to really live what we preach.
Now, a lot of this, abortion and all the other things that are happening today, are an attack on the family. There was a holy family, and it is the example. We don't know exactly what St. Joseph did with Jesus. He protected him. He raised him. The scripture tells us he grew in age and wisdom and respected his parents up until that time. And what you say is something that I don't know if you and I have talked about this on the program, but some of the other bishops did. The role of the father today in the family is so much, so critically important, especially if he has boys, to keep them strong in the faith and to show them what a real man is, a real man that he can be, a good, masculine, real leader, and still be very religious. This is something that a lot of people don't think can happen.
And we know that the fruits of that work will be not visible in a month, 2 months, or a year. Perhaps 5 years from now, when they leave home, go to college and start their own life, 20 years from now, they will go back to their parents, as we did, and say, thank you. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad, for forming me or who I am today.
Yeah. I just mentioned that we've had other bishops on, as you know, and interesting here in Northeast Ohio, and people know very well who have been around here for a while that we may be unique in the country. We have the Roman Catholic Diocese. We have your Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy. A few blocks down the road, we have the Byzantine Catholic Eparchy, and not far down the road, we have the Romanian Catholic Eparchy. So it's this great richness, and very soon we're going to have the pleasure to welcome a new bishop for the Ruthenian Byzantine Catholics, Bishop Robert Pipta. He's the bishop-elect, and he will succeed Bishop Milan Lach, who was our guest here many times. I imagine from bishop to bishop, that's kind of an exciting time to welcome, your brother bishop into the community.
Indeed, we are all looking forward. It will happen on the feast of St. Michael's with his ordination and installation as a new bishop of the Byzantine Eparchy of Parma. And Bishop-elect Robert was a rector of the seminary in Pittsburgh. He himself grew up in a Byzantine church. So we are looking forward to his presence here to create a collegiality among us bishop and to become a father to the Byzantine community.
And, we have a little bit of time left. One thing is, as we follow you on social media, and those of you who are interested on Facebook, Bishop Bogdan Danilo is active there, and it's worth your attention if you're on Facebook. We were talking about unique liturgical practices and some of the nuances between Roman Catholic, Eastern Catholics, and so on. And one of them is the great emphasis, I don't know if it's a difference, but liturgical song with no instruments, just voice is kind of the way it goes in the Eastern Catholic churches for the most part. It was a real big deal that happens every year. You get all your choir directors and music directors together and have this big thing you call the Sing Con. It looks like it was just a great success up in Canada this year.
Yeah, in outside of Niagara Falls, Canada, we had an opportunity of almost 90 people gather for this. And what is unique about this cantering experience, it's mostly in English. It's for the English cantors in our churches and communities. But one third of them were younger than 25.
Mm.
And you don't have too many young people who are interested about cantering or being acolytes and lectors in overall churches. And here they have that love for Byzantine music. As you recall, a couple years ago, we hosted this event here in Cleveland area. And this time we were in Canada. Hopefully next year, once again, we will come back to United States. But it was a beautiful 4 days of those who really enjoy music. They learn a little bit more about different services, especially to praise God with singing.
People would come and experience a Eastern Catholic liturgy, the Divine Liturgy, whether it's Ukrainian rite or the Byzantine. Singing is a very important part, even when you would say have a more of a spoken, what they used to call low mass in the Roman Church. There are parts that are always sung. What is it about the singing of Bishop Danilo that is part of the Byzantine divine liturgies?
You know, we claim that when you sing, you pray twice. I think it's a community aspect. You know, you experience this with the music sometimes when we are in a car and you listen to a good music, you tend to sing along.
When nobody's listening, in my case, right?
Well, I think your voice helps in a lot of ways and places, including our cathedral choir. But when you sing together, you create a unit of people praising the God. And there are definitely musical pieces that require knowledge and practice. But so many of the beautiful liturgical poems and texts in the Divine Liturgy or Vespers are known through the entire community. Holy God, for example, I think the whole church sings that hymn so beautifully. And it just, the experience of praying together through singing involves us. I think when you stand at the Divine Liturgy and you hear somebody singing, you automatically are almost moved to be a part of that singing and community. So I encourage everyone to sing.
Yeah, our Catholic faith, our Catholic Church, we are the body of Christ, and we are not individuals. We're all linked in this body. You hear oftentimes somebody, well, I don't go to church, but I go out in the woods and I pray there and I'm alone. We're called to be together, aren't we, Bishop, as a people of God?
God, in his wisdom, decided to save us not as individuals, but as a community. And that perfect community, of course, is the church community.
We're talking with His Grace Bishop Bogdan Danilo, and we will wrap things up on this edition of Table Talk here on The Rock after we take one brief final timeout. We're glad you're with us here on Table Talk. We've had a wonderful discussion with Bishop Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy. And I would encourage any of you, if you would like to try, just come to the Divine Liturgy. It's St. Josaphat Cathedral Parish in Parma. Look it up, just Google it, and find out when the Divine Liturgy in English is, or come even in Ukrainian and experience that. It'll be definitely worth your while. And if you come on a Sunday, you can experience the Divine Liturgy in all its glory with all the great singing that we have just talked about. So, Bishop, a couple minutes left. We talked about a lot of serious things today. We've got this ballot issue that would legalize killing children. We've got the war in Ukraine. We've got war other places, all these things tearing at our society. A couple minutes left. Leave us with something to be hopeful for that we can, at the end of this hour, do something and make a difference.
As Christians, we are people of hope. And as Christians, we are people of love. So we're also entering in a season. Thanksgiving is not far from us. School started fall as a season when we are more at home is coming. Focus on what is important in life. We mentioned about family. Children, if you are older, grandchildren, I know grandmother is waiting for a call from a grandson or granddaughter. Make a first step. You know, those young people are busy, but say a prayer for them and maybe call them. Also, let us change our local society. We will be not able maybe to change the direction of universe or places far away from here, but we are able to make a difference in our local communities. And that's what is probably the most important for us. And of course, with the fall and upcoming Advent, we'll be coming to the Christmas time. Once again, of that promise of Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us. He is present as we speak during this program on the radio. He's present with us when we travel, when we work, when we are with our families. Cherish those moments. We are so blessed in today's society with all the trials and tribulations that we spoke happening. There is still a lot of hope. And probably the most important, we can change it if we wish. Tomorrow morning, we can start anew with new ideas, with being kind to each other, being better for each other, serving those who perhaps are in need. And trust me, it will be like an effect of one person helping another. If you help a person, most of the time that person will be kind and willing to help others as well.
Your Grace, your blessing as we conclude our program.
Let us turn maybe to Mother of God, the one who was always protecting her son. Mother of God, give us a strength in our Christian life to live a good example to others. As you were the Mother of Christ, protectress, and our intercessor before his throne of glory, give us strength to be a good Catholics, good Christians, live our lives in a way that are in the image of God. May the blessing of the Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with all of you, always, now, and forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Our guest, Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma. Thank you, Your Grace, for being with us, and you're welcome at any time. Our producer is Dan Deely. I'm your host, Dick Russ. Thanks most of all to all of you for listening to us here on AM 1260, The Rock.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at AM 1260TheRock.com.